Today is Thursday. It's Ask Dr. Peter Glidden Day. The phone number is on the screen. It's 619-431-0334. And for those of you in Rumble, there's this thing called the Rumble Rants. It's at the bottom of your live chat box. Bottom left-hand corner. It's a little green button. It's preferable if you use that because it helps the show out when you ask your questions. Okay. And I had the good fortune of finding what I think might have been the last copy on the planet of Attempt to Cure Holistic Medicine. So it was at Thrift Books. They had one left, two in Spanish, one left in English. And I placed the order. They said it shipped out today.
So I don't even know what Thrift Books is, but good job.
Yeah. And I'm reading right now on my elliptical, I'm rereading The MD Emperor Has No Clothes.
Oh, very good.
So my first question to you before you interview me is, do you still recommend Copeland's Cure by Natalie Robbins? Or is there, it's been some time since 2010. Is there something else that you think people should look at in addition or instead of?
So, that's a really, really good question. So Copeland's Cure is kind of a really interesting, thorough history on the whole evolution of medicine in the United States. It's a heady read. It's not, you know, it's not like a bubblegum graphic novel, you know, to like take the edge off. It's heady, but it's got very good information in it. I would recommend people pick it up and give it a read.
Excellent.
If you can find it.
Yeah. And I was going over in your book, the Law of Similars is very interesting, and I'm looking at the other ones. I'm not sure if you covered all of them, but I know you got into the Law of Potentization already.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Law of Similars, because that's important. So there are a lot of ways to help the human body heal itself. You can do remarkable things just with the therapeutic application of water. It's called hydrotherapy. You can do remarkable things with it. The early naturopathic doctors, like the founders of naturopathic medicine, were curing smallpox and bubonic plague and all kinds of things just with hydrotherapy. It's a remarkably effective treatment. Hands-on healing, as codified by Dr. Monzo, an extremely effective way to help the body heal itself. Clinical fasting, an extremely effective way to help the body heal itself. Medical nutrition, an extremely effective way to help the body heal itself. Acupuncture, an extremely effective way to help the body heal itself. And, you know, physical manipulation like chiropractic, osteopathic, right? Craniosacral work, bilateral nasal specific, ocular iontophoresis. I mean, there's a lot of different therapeutics that you can use to assist in the healing of the human body mind. Now, another way to do it is through the application of medicine. And in the wonderful world of, you know, the not so wonderful world of monopolistic, Machiavellian, mediocre MD-directed medicine, their entire shtick is about the delivery of medicines, right? Pharmaceuticals specifically. The application of medicines is divided into two branches of medicine. One is the MD method. The other is the homeopathic medicine method. And the MD method uses medicines, pharmaceuticals specifically, toxic, dangerous, deadly, man-made pharmaceuticals in order to push the body in a way that medical science at that moment in time thinks is a good thing to do. None of the applications of MD medicine are based upon natural law. They're all based on biochemistry, theoretical speculation, and hubris by the doctor, right? The doctor thinks they're smarter than God, smarter than nature. They don't have any appreciation for natural law whatsoever. They just deliver medicines. And it with them, the treatment is for the diagnosis, right? So you have a depression. And in order to treat the depression, you will be given a medicine which alters the biochemistry of your brain.
One size fits all.
Pushing the brain and the brain chemistry into a particular direction. And in doing so, there are always other ramifications of the medicine, right? Which is why the medicines all have side effects. Because the medicines are delivered based on biochemistry and the mandates of the popular culture at the time, which is all reality by consensus. You know, back in the day, it was bloodletting. That was the standard of care. And if you didn't do bloodletting, you were a quack and you were kicked out of conventional medicine. Then it was purgative medicines like calomel, which was large doses of mercury, right? As a medicine. This was the standard of care. This was the accepted conventional medicine practice. And if you did not do that, you were a quack and you were ostracized from medicine. and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. And now we've got antibiotics and we've got statin drugs and we've got all the other drugs, right, that they've come up with, the biologics and this, that, and the other thing. All of these substances are medicinal substances which are delivered to the body based on theoretical biochemical speculation about how the medicine is going to work in a living, breathing human being. And none of them are curative. They all attempt a hostile takeover of the metabolism of the human body, pushing it in a way that the doctor thinks is beneficial. So, you know, side effects may include, right? Your leg may fall off, you may go blind, you may go deaf, you may go dumb. You may be infertile for the rest of your life, or, oh yeah, you could get cancer, or, oh yeah, well, you could die from the medicine, right? Now, on the other hand, with the application of medicines, we have homeopathy. And in this regard, homeopathic medicine, which is based upon the law of similars, is the most scientific, the most well thought out, the most proven system of curative medicine that uses medicinal substances. And it was all done through an inductive learning process. So the homeopaths recognized, or the guy that invented homeopathy recognized, that if you were sick with something and you ingested a medicine, which when given to a healthy person, induced the same symptoms that the sick person was suffering from, the illness was cured.
That's crazy. And that's metaphysics at a whole other level.
Yes. But, and it wasn't yes and no, that was not a metaphysical discovery. That was a physical discovery, right? Mm. Here's what happens to the human body when someone takes large doses of quinine, okay?
Right,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It resembles almost exactly what happens when somebody gets cholera. Right.
That's what I read, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to give quinine to people who have cholera, and son of a gun, the cholera disappears, it's cured. But wait a minute. Sometimes when we give the quinine to cholera, people who are suffering from cholera, the quinine kills them.
Oh.
Because it's a large material dose. And it's a medicine. And it's too big of a dose. They died from the medicine itself. Some of them did. So, okay, we know that it works. but we know the dose was too high. So how can we eliminate the negative effects, the poisonous effects of the medicine while securing the curative effects of the medicine? What are we going to do? How are we going to do that? And this was all inductive reasoning, right? Mm. So that's when the law of potentization was discovered. So counterintuitively, I don't know exactly how this process was stumbled upon, but they started taking the medicines. In this case, we'll stick with this example, quinine, and they would dilute it with water or alcohol, and then they would dilute it, and then they'd give it, and they'd see what happens, and then they'd dilute it again, and then they'd give it and see what happened, and then they'd dilute it again, and then they'd give it and see what happens. And holy crap, let's talk about busting out of the medical matrix. Oh my God, guess what? It's not the Earth is at the center of the solar system. It's the sun is at the solar center of the solar system. Oh my God, it's a breakthrough. This was a breakthrough. Because what they discovered through the application of these diluted medicines was that the more dilute the medicine, the more curative it was. The more curative it was, as long as it was the bullseye remedy, the medicine. It had to be the medicine that was given, the medicine that was then diluted, had to produce in healthy people exactly the same symptoms that the sick people were suffering from. It had to be an exact match. It couldn't be off by a little bit. It had to be an exact match. When you had secured that medicinal agent, and diluted it, you secured all of the healing properties and eliminated all of the toxic properties from it completely. And that discovery, those discoveries were the most important medical discoveries in the 19th, 20th, and 21st centuries. And the book that codified all of that was called The Organon of Medicine.
Yes, I have that.
Yeah, but unless you have the sixth edition of the Organon of Medicine.
That's the one from Hahnemann himself, right?
Well, Hahnemann wrote all of them.
Okay.
And each time he wrote another edition,
yeah,
right, there was more information that was added to it because he discovered more stuff through the inductive reasoning process of giving these things to patients and seeing how they responded and then changing it and seeing how they responded and then changing it and seeing how they responded and trying to perfect it. The sixth edition of the Organon of Medicine, which is the most important medical book written in the modern day, completely rewrote our understanding of medicine and how to cure people with medicines and how that body actually works. The sixth edition was not published until about 100 years after Hahnemann died. And there were significant changes in the sixth edition about what you do clinically with people as opposed to the previous five editions. But nonetheless, my point that I'm laboring at trying to get here is that the Organon of Medicine, which uncovered and described for a sick and suffering humanity the law of similars, which was the most important medicinal law ever discovered. And it's a law of nature. It exists whether you believe it does or not. It's an inviolate law. It is a law of nature. The most important discovery regarding the application of medicine in order to help people recover their health ever made. And then the law of potentization, the second most important discovery ever made. And these things are completely lost in popular culture because for the last 109 years, the meme, the propagandized meme has been homeopathy is placebo, homeopathy is quack medicine, homeopathy doesn't work, homeopathy is placebo, homeopathy is quack medicine, homeopathy doesn't work, et cetera, 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 et cetera. It's in the background of everybody's brain that homeopathy is quack medicine. Homeopathy is quack medicine. And that was done on purpose because the law of similars, which homeopathy brought to the table, was the most important discovery about how to use medicinal substances to actually help the body heal itself that was ever made. I mean, it's like discovering gravity. I mean, if you know,
on top of that one, if they were going to sell you drugs.
You know, if I mean, I'm sure that they've done this, you know, in the propulsion labs, right?
The anti-gravitics, yeah.
But it's not popular culture. I mean, it would be the discovery of the law of similars was on parallel with discovering that the Earth is not at the center of the solar system, but it's the sun. It was a breakthrough, landmark discovery.
No wonder the drug companies came in and they came in fast and hard and squashed everything.
Yes, because number one, homeopathic medicines cure people. Number two, because the medicines are more effective the more dilute they are.
Cheap.
They're super inexpensive. And that's in direct opposition to the pharmaceutical agenda. Because you don't want to cure people and you want to make the medicine as expensive as possible. And the more harm that the medicine does, the more medicines the people are going to need to clean up the side effects of the original medicine. And that's a fantastic business model.
Yeah.
And so that's why there's been this century-long propaganda against everything that has to do with homeopathy. And the Organon of Medicine, which outlines the law of similars and the law of potentization, hands down the most important medical book written in our lifetime. Well, it was written before our lifetime, but of the present day.
I think the law of potentization may also reveal potentially the difference between the importance of the matter versus the importance of the resonating frequency that's giving the information or the data to something. So you don't need excess. And sometimes maybe because it is kind of like a poison that it would, you know, it would maybe not get to the healing process as quickly because you still have to overcome that and then fix yourself. But if it's at the lowest dose, it's still giving you the data. It's like giving you the software for the system or something.
Yeah, see, because from the homeopathic point of view, there is, in fact, a metaphysical component of it. And the metaphysical component is that all disease begins in the spiritual plane. All disease begins at the spiritual or the energetic plane, which then manifests physically. And so in order to treat that effectively and efficiently, you need to use a medicinal substance which affects the spiritual and the energetic plane. And that's what the potentization process does. It makes the medicine energetically effective, and which is the opposite of what drugs do.
That's amazing. And that goes right back into how Dr. Manzo's stuff works too.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Very cool. 100%. It all goes back to the body as an electric energy device. And that all the cells of the body are transceivers and that there is an energetic spiritual force which preceded the physical form. That consciousness preceded the physical body. Medical doctors are taught that the physical body creates consciousness.
Right.
Right. And that once the body dies, consciousness dies, it's lights out, game over. There's no such thing as God or the spirit or life after death. Those are all fictions.
It's all matter, and that's it.
And that's it. It's just matter. It's just matter. So because it's just matter, we need to treat it with medicinal substances which push the body's biochemistry in a particular direction. And who cares about the side effects? The blood pressure is under control, right? It's like that. And it's insane on its face. And you, like, honest to God, man, I mean, you would believe it, but most people would not believe the things that I've seen homeopathy cure. You wouldn't. It's when you can stimulate the law of similars with the selection of exactly the correct homeopathic medicine, the magic. It's like magic. It is like magic. because the illness was there and then it's not there. Well, where'd it go? It was there and now it's not. Well, I had a tumor a week ago. Where'd it go? Right. It's like that.
Wow.
And it's remarkable. And because to add a little layer of irony here, and tragedy would be a better word. Because of the law of potentization, right? Which through inductive reasoning has shown clinically over and over and over and over again that the more dilute the substance is, the more impactful it is in restoring health. Because of the law of potentization, was just too much for a lot of homeopathic doctors to like come to terms with. They like, because most homeopathic doctors in the 1800s and the early 1900s were MDs first. I mean, they all were, mm-hmm. right? They all had to become an MD first, and then they stumbled upon homeopathy somehow. So they grew up inside of the materialistic method, you know, Newtonian physics method. If it can't be measured, it doesn't exist. And then they see the law of similars and they see the law of similars work and they're good with that because it works. And I can understand that from a mechanistic point of view, that's not a problem. But then when you start to stimulate the law of similars through extremely dilute substances, your head explodes.
Yeah. You think more is better.
More. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. And so in homeopathy, that same thing has happened in naturopathy now. As time has gone by, the homeopathic profession has split probably into 10 different subsets of homeopathic medicine. Because
that's a faith challenge there, because it's really about atheism or do you believe in it?
Well,
and you say one thing, but yeah, do you actually act this the other way?
Yeah, that is correct. However, what all of this hinges upon, because it is the scientific method, is the inductive educational process. You look to see what happens when you give a particular substance, you figure out why it happened, you change it, and you figure out why the response was different, you change it, you figure out why the response was different. It's all learn as you go. Mm-hmm. And the people in homeopathy, the practitioners of homeopathy who had trouble with the really dilute homeopathic medicines simply weren't trying them. They just wouldn't even use them. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use that. It's ridiculous. There's nothing in there. I can't use that. It's what my patient's going to die. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. So that's why there was a schism. It wasn't because the law of similars worked for this person, it didn't work for this. It's a law. It works all the time, whether you believe in it or not. The potentization works all of the time, whether you believe in it or not. The people that poo-pooed the potentization process never used the highly potentized medicines themselves. They never used them. They just wouldn't go there. Can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Mm. So that's how the profession has become divided. The same thing happened with naturopathic medicine. I guess history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes. But here we are. And honestly, right now in the world, maybe there's 100 homeopathic doctors that actually know how to do it. And that I would be comfortable referring a friend or a family member to. Maybe there's 100. That might be a stretch. And that's how bad it's become because of this, the schism inside of homeopathy. And then, you know, the preponderance of the pharmaceutical method and big pharma and medicine and Codex Alimentarius and,
right,
you know, all of this. You throw those quacks in jail. It's like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I mean, everybody that I know that is good at what they do with naturopathic medicine and or the use of homeopathy, we're looking over our shoulders every day.
All right.
That's not good, man. And this is the problem that we have. This is what needs to be fixed, Bobby Kennedy, Junior. We don't need to clean up the food and school lunches. We need medical freedom, for goodness sakes. That's what we need. The FDA has to go away. The Federal Trade Commission has to go away. They have, the whole thing has to have a paradigm shift. The whole thing. We need freedom in the medical marketplace. That's what we need. We need people like me to be licensed. Now, all 50 states, we need insurance to cover everything. We need universities not to be we need universities to be able to do research on alternative, quote unquote, medicine without fear of reprisal. This is what we need. But Big Pharma ain't going to have none of that. So I don't think any of that's going to happen in our lifetime.
And you know, you made a point because of this, the schism there, whatever the schism, the fact that 10 more or 15 more states have licensed since this book was put out, because I think you said like 10 at the time or 15, maybe it was.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because it's not like they're practicing the right type of homeopathy, right? So it's not the reason why they're allowing it, because they've already pretty much poisoned it.
Well, I never thought about it that way, but I mean, you're right. I mean, those two things could go hand in hand. So anyway, what this all boils down to is we're all on our own here, man. And if people in the listening audience are waiting for this to change from the top down, well, good luck. I hope that you're right. I hope that it will. I don't think it's going to.
Do they still, cause I think it sounded like maybe I was reading fast because I was on the elliptical, but It sounded like in Washington State at some point, I think it was Washington State, that they did. Insurance did pay for it, or was that
No, insurance does pay for it to a limited extent in like I think 6 or 7 states right now. But it's limited, and the insurance won't pay for the supplements, it won't pay for the medicines.
Oh.
It'll pay for the doctor's visit. But you know, they pay the doctor ridiculously low amount of money in order to put him out of business. You know, the typical visit, like if you were to come to see me as a new patient or a new client, okay, When I was going to take you on and help you to recover your health, and you've got a chronic disease, like you got congestive heart failure, you got clinical depression, or you've got rheumatoid arthritis or Sjogren's syndrome or chronic debilitating migraine headaches or whatever the hell it is, the first visit with me is about 3 hours.
Yeah, not 10 minutes. And half listening. Right. You're figuring out everything, the whole history.
And insurance, number one, is not going to compensate anybody for a 3-hour first office visit. They're simply not going to do that. And I think the maximum that insurance pays is like $100. So the entire system is set up to make the non-MD doctor fail. It's set up to make it fail because you can not put the naturopathic, you know, office visit. It's a completely different paradigm than the conventional medical doctor office visit. It is a completely different thing, and insurance does not understand that. And it won't understand that. It tries to, you know, oh, you're a doctor, and we're going to pay you for 10 minutes with the patient because that's what doctors do. Well, you're a naturopath? What the hell? It doesn't matter. It's 10 minutes. That's how it is. And it's a crap show from start to finish. And that's why in 36 years of clinical work, I have never, ever accepted insurance. I've always had a cash practice. And there were a lot of years. I think the first 10 years of my work, I was lucky if I made $40,000 a year.
I was lucky because a lot of doctors were doing a whole lot more than that.
I mean, if it wasn't for the support of my family, I would not have been able to do it. You know, finally, I'm able to make a living doing it, but it's took 25 years. And it's not because I wasn't smart at what I did. It's because the system is set up to make people like me fail. It is. And that's what I went to school. I had a picture of my graduating class. I meant to put it here and show it to the audience. I'll do it next week.
Okay.
There were 33 of us that graduated 1991. There are two of us that are still in practice.
Did any of them switch over to MD?
One of them. Yeah. Halfway through the, I think in sophomore year, she said, I'm not doing this. And she went the conventional medical route. Mm. And that was because in the 90s, the education of the naturopath wasn't the best thing on the planet, because the profession didn't have any money and was struggling. And some of the instructors were just jackasses. And we really had to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and figure it out as we went along. And that is not for the faint of heart, my friend. You know, if most medical doctors had to put up with the political stress that we put up with, they wouldn't do it. They simply wouldn't do it. And which is why the only people that still practice naturopathic medicine, the only people that still practice homeopathic medicine in this political climate, they practice it because they were called to it.
Yeah, there's a fire inside them. It has to be, otherwise you wouldn't.
Why? I mean, why do this? What are you, nuts? Right? So there. Now I want to ask you some questions.
Okay. So the in between, just real quick, Karen said, "Thank you, Dr. Glidden, for helping my niece Tiffany. You're talking to her on Monday. I guess you guys have an appointment set up."
Oh yeah, she's the one with the yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah, I'm happy to help her. You're welcome.
Okay, you had questions.
Yeah, so you know, so here's the way that this is, right? In the wonderful world of holistic medicine, dare I say alternative medicine, right? There are a number of different approaches, just like I talked about before, right? There's the acupuncture and botanical medicine, and there's hands-on healing, and there are all these other things, right? And, you know, good old Dr. Glidden knows how to do it his way, right? The naturopathic and the homeopathic way. That's what I know. And I'm interested because you've interviewed so many different people over the years, mm-hmm. right? People like me, but just from different aspects of the holistic spectrum, right? So from everybody that you've interviewed over time, what are like the top five most remarkable things that you've learned?
Okay, well, the two that I have boiled everything down to where I know these are the two sources that I trust the most is Dr. Monzo and Dr. Peter Glidden. So that's, you know, I've had quite a few more on here. You've interacted with a couple of them yourself, so has Dr. Monzo. But I mean, it's been proven time and time again, and you've proven it to me directly with the kidney thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, the homeopathic thing, it has to be the reason, the one big main thing that's in my head right now. The nutrition and how it fixes things.
Yeah.
The touch and how like the body sometimes has blockages, and you can, you know, you're kind of like bridging a gap. Like you're putting one wire here and one wire here, and you're jumping over the blockage and everything's good. Yeah. You know, it's that with what Dr. Monzo says, and you guys are both on board with the nutrition aspect of everything.
Yeah.
And then the homeopathic, what do you call it? Preparations of these different types of things. That is still, I'm very interested. Like that would be something I would, if I wasn't told not to, I would love to pursue that for the next rest of my life.
So I can point you in the right direction there. So, but it is a lifelong study.
Yeah.
So what do you think about, you know, the whole of all, you know, the other people that you've talked about, like the fourth phase of water thing, the, you know, contagion epidemic is BS thing. Mm-hmm. What do you think about all that?
Okay, so I am very, very, very what do we call it, solid on my foundation that I'm I hate the word virus at this point because I think it's a complete farce. If you don't have a sample and you don't know what it is, and you can just take a computer model and grab different things and say, we strung this all together, here you go. And that's what it is. And this is just a part of it and a fragment. That doesn't tell me anything. And it doesn't tell me that you know what to do to counteract it. And then you also haven't even proven to me that that's what's causing something.
Right.
And with smallpox, they had tanneries that were dumping chemicals in the waters. A lot of people got it from poisonings. The shots didn't help anything. They've never been proven to be a good thing.
Right.
And this isn't the proper method. They don't have the, first of all, they don't have the right cause. They're treating it as a thing, like a disease, like you said. So none of this stuff, like I get irritated when I hear lab leak. Like if it's anything, it's a poison. Stop calling it a virus, because by virus, it means something specific according to them. And that's not what it is. So stop getting that in your head that there's some magic unicorns out to bite you.
Yeah. And that's that, all of that false belief, right, is a function, and this from the Department of Redundancy Department, of the medical monopoly. Because that BS would never be able to catch on unless it was inside of a monopoly, right? And inside of the monopoly, everybody who disagrees with the virus theory, with the contagion theory, is labeled an idiot and completely kicked off of the bus. So what are you talking about? The earth is flat. Shut up. You're an idiot. It's like that.
They haven't even been able to prove contagion, because every time that there's that component in there, it's just as easy. That could be an environmental poisoning. It could be your body deciding to detox because somebody else is going through a phase. So then you start getting symptoms. It could also be virus mania.
Everybody in your listening audience needs to read this book after they read my books.
right.
And right. Virus mania. This book will make your head explode and really make you hate anybody with an MD after their name. Who's not a surgeon.
Yeah. Dissolving Illusions talks about how filthy the conditions were during the Industrial Revolution and how disease occurred then. Malnutrition and all that too. And then they're like, oh no, it's an outbreak. It's a disease. It's blah, blah, blah. Here, take some shots. And now everybody's dead. But I mean, even 1918 to 1920, you think maybe 21, about that 3-year time period, some people say 50 million people died. And there was a very big difference between the people who died with like black stuff coming out of their bodies and like rotting while they're alive versus the people who didn't take the shots.
Exactly correct.
And walking around without the mask on, treating these other people, and they didn't get sick.
And in the Spanish flu.
Right, that time.
After World War I, the homeopathic doctors were having 85% success rate in helping their patients who were diagnosed with this illness, which I don't think was a virus, recover their health, while the medical doctors had like a 7% success rate. The homeopathic doctors had an 85% success rate. I have a colleague, he's had 44 years of clinical experience. According to him, nobody should ever die from pneumonia because homeopathic medicine treats anything, everything. But if someone's under the care of a good homeopathic physician, they will not die from pneumonia, because homeopathy is a remarkably effective treatment for that condition.
Yeah, that part about aurum, really, the gold, homeopathically prepared gold, that was very interesting. Poor kid slumped over, sitting in a chair, not lying down. She's like, why didn't you tell me that?
That was crazy. It is. It's remarkable. The whole study of homeopathy, it's like every time you turn another page when you're reading about homeopathy, it's another set of lights in your brain go on. It's like, wow, that's right, and that's remarkable, and that makes sense, and then it's a whole new world, man. Yeah, it's a whole new world, and arguably on purpose the most misunderstood system of medicine in the modern day is homeopathy, because
I can see how it could be very confusing too, especially just because people aren't good at relaying what's really going on. They generalize, they sense things generalized, and it's their perspective of what's going on.
Yeah. And that's the the bane of the clinical homeopath, right? Because, you know, there's a saying in homeopathic medicine that conventional medical doctors treat the diagnosis, or the conventional medical doctors diagnose an illness. Homeopathic medical doctors diagnose a cure.
Mm. Right.
So the cure, based on the law of similars, is based upon an objective understanding of the symptoms that the sick person is experiencing. So if you had a migraine headache and you had the pain in the right temple, you would need a different homeopathic medicine than if you had a migraine headache and the pain was in the left temple. If you had a migraine headache and it felt like your head was being squeezed between a vise, you would need a different homeopathic medicine than if you felt your head was exploding like a balloon. If you had a migraine headache and it felt a million times better from a cold application, you would need a different homeopathic medicine with a headache that felt a million times better from a hot application, and so forth and so on. So the only job of the homeopath is to collect accurately the symptoms that the sick person is experiencing. But because of the way that we've all been brought up in this culture, people simply are not used to describing their symptoms. What do you mean, what part of my head hurts, doc? I got a headache. What's your headache feel like? It hurts, doc. It's a pain in my head. It hurts. It's like pulling teeth from people to get them just accurately describe their symptoms, because they don't understand. Why are you asking me these questions? You're wasting my time. Why are we doing this? What do you mean? What makes it feel better? What makes it feel worse? What time of the day does it happen? What does that have to do with anything? People just don't think about, they're not trained to think about these things, which is why the first interview takes 3 hours. Right. Because you got to slowly extract these symptoms.
No other doctors ever asked these questions before. They're lucky if they get two words in edgewise.
Yeah. It is a complete 180-degree paradigm shift. 100%.
And you know what's funny is the one that makes the most sense to me and that seems most humane, you know, connected to other human beings is the one that they're destroying, the one that they're closing out of the game.
No, thank you, Ball.
It just makes more sense.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see. I have kind of, I think somebody tried to call and it wasn't intentional that I hit the one button trying to take it and then it already crashed out. So we do have a couple questions here. So Karen has, and see, I had a theory that maybe Karen, well, not a theory, but it seems like when you were talking on Tuesday about the person waking up at certain times of the night, and if they have cravings, and you said it might be something in reference to the liver.
Yeah.
I think that might help describe something. And then she has, let me go ahead and see if she wrote it out. There's something coming. No, she hasn't done it yet. She has something else happening too, but she's having a hard time sleeping. Doesn't go to sleep. Sometimes stays, feels like she's wide awake after, you know, a couple hours or an hour or something like that.
Okay. So, if you have trouble falling asleep, then that's usually because you don't have enough calcium or enough magnesium in your body. You're probably both. That's the first thing to consider when you have trouble falling asleep, is it's a deficiency in the two minerals, calcium and magnesium. Now, remember, there are 90 essential nutrients that everybody needs. Calcium and magnesium are two of the 90. So we're not just going to give calcium and magnesium to the insomniac. We're going to give all 90 essential nutrients with a little extra calcium and a little extra magnesium, and that's how we do it. So that's the first thing to consider. If you fall asleep and then a couple hours later you wake up and you're wide awake, the first thing to consider is that's a blood sugar metabolism issue. Another indication of a blood sugar metabolism issue is during the day when you eat something sweet, whether it's a candy bar or a Coca-Cola or a carbohydrate that your body then turns into sugar, about 15, 20 minutes after you eat it, you get really sleepy.
Mm.
So during the day, if you get really sleepy after you eat sugar or a carb, and you wake up or you wake up in the middle of the night and you're wide awake, you only slept a couple hours, you're wide awake, that's a blood sugar issue. So here's what you want to do to kind of try to sort that out. So there's a company called Direct Labs.
And Polka, this might actually play into yours. That's why I kind of grouped them together. But you know what I find funny is that a lot of people, like, you'll tell them about the 90 essentials, like, this is what you need to start off with. And they're like, it's like, yeah, but what do I take? It's like, no. You know, it's like, in addition to that, what do I take? No, they're like, is there another way to get to it? Is basically what they're saying. It's like, why don't you just take the nutrients you need and see what happens? Yeah, but isn't there another way to do that? Ah.
Welcome to my world. It's such a disconnect. So one way to see whether or not you actually do have a blood sugar issue is to do some blood work, and you can do it yourself, completely bypass your medical doctor. And I'm not affiliated with Direct Labs at all. I don't make any money. There's no affiliation. It's just an easy way to get blood work without going to the doctor's office. So you go to directlabs.com, you know, create a free account with an email and a password, and then you can order any lab test in the world that you want. So order this one. It's called hemoglobin A1C. Might be called hemoglobin A1C with EAG, I think. Maybe it's 35, 40, 50 bucks. I can't remember. So you order the stuff online. You give them a credit card. Once the order is completed, they will give you a voucher that you print up, and they'll give you a list of laboratories in your zip code that will draw the blood. So you take your little voucher to one of the laboratories. Lab tech draws your blood. Maybe they charge you 10 bucks for that. I don't know. And then 4 or 5 days later, the results of the blood work show up in your Direct Labs account. So if you're, and here are the reference ranges for hemoglobin A1C, which is in my book, Attempt a Cure That You Can't Get Anymore.
I'll have a copy for you guys, but I'm not going to share too much.
So the healthy reference ranges for hemoglobin A1C are 5.0 to 5.6. 5.0 to 5.6. So if it's higher than 5.6, you have a blood sugar issue. If it's high, now the medical doctors have a different reference range. This is the correct reference range. The medical doctor's reference range is not correct. This is the correct reference range. I should put the zero in there. 5.0 to 5.6. So if you have a blood sugar issue, then the number will be above 5.6. If it's above 5.6, then you have a blood sugar issue, and that's most probably why you have trouble sleeping or staying asleep or whatever. Which then begs the question, well, what do we do for that? Well, the first thing to consider with a blood sugar issue is that it is a lack of the trace mineral chromium. And the second thing to consider with a blood sugar issue is that it is a lack of omega-3 essential fats. So we do the Healthy Foundation Pack, which gives you all 90 essential nutrients plus the omega-3s. And you add a product to that called Sweeties, Ultimate Sweeties. So we do the Foundation Pack plus Sweeties for 90 days. Eliminate the 12 bad foods, right, which everybody needs to do because that's mandatory, and look to see what happens. And remember, this is not a insomnia remedy. This is a you remedy. And so as you're taking it, you want to look to see how it affects you globally, not just your sleep, but, you know, your mood, your energy, your appetite, your weight, your sex drive, the whole kit and caboodle. Because we treat people. Medical doctors treat disease. That's why they fail. And that's why we succeed.
Do you think weight gain, like a wrapping on, so that weight gain has to do with like the same reason or way the animals gain weight before market? Like, do you think it's a mineral deficiency? So they're getting like their own human pica?
Yeah, the moan. Yes, the first thing to consider with weight gain is that it's mineral deficiencies which drive the appetite. And also, it's associated with high fructose corn syrup consumption, because high fructose corn syrup shuts down the receptors in the brain that make you know when you're full. So if you drink, you know, Coca-Cola or anything that has high fructose corn syrup in it, which is 80% of everything in the grocery store, it's going to be hard for you to stop eating even when you're full, because you won't know that you're full.
And then Karen's follow-up, I had asked her what it was. So she's getting an IUD removal soon, I guess. And she said no drugs stop the pain. And she's been living with it for a long time, I guess.
Oh, so she's having an IUD removed and she wants to know what to do preventively for the pain of surgery?
Karen, can you explain? Like, maybe are you trying to deal with it until it comes out? Or I know she, or maybe this is what's associated with the other issues she's having with the sleep or something. I don't know, but that's she's also saying that the tangy tangerine, she has a selenium, the 90. I didn't know tangy tangerine came in a pill form.
It does. So if you have pain because there's been a medicinal device implanted in your body, then medical nutrition is not going to fix that. You're going to need another treatment to fix that. And the most effective treatments for that are, in my view, are homeopathy. Homeopathy is an extremely effective medicine for dealing with pain, regardless of the source. But this is outside of the realm of medical nutrition to fix. Medical nutrition could knock down the pain, you know, from a 10 to a 5. But in order to eliminate it, you're going to need an individualized homeopathic workup. Now, if you are going to have surgery, and what can I take before, during, or after surgery to mitigate the pain from the surgery so I don't have to take opioids, then that's easy. That's
She says, I have to get it out. Marana IUD taken out at office visit and have to drive myself.
Okay, very good. So you want to get homeopathic perforatum. Hold on. Okay. Homeopathic perforatum in the 1M potency. Hypericum perforatum. Homeopathic hypericum perforatum in the 1M potency. You can get that at Amazon. The day before the surgery, you take 2 pellets orally. The morning of the surgery, as you're driving there, you take 2 pellets orally. Immediately before the surgery, you take 2 pellets orally. And when you wake up from the surgery, you take 2 pellets orally and 2 pellets the next day. And that will dramatically reduce the amount of pain that you experience from the procedure. And if you can, you want to Uber it. Because you don't want to drive. You just don't want to drive. You take an Uber. If you can sort that out, you're find somebody that can drive you, because that's just not a good idea, because you're going to be in an alternate world post-surgery. You just are. Even if you're awake during the surgery, you're not going to be in your body. And you could, you know, have an accident. And then the shit hits the fan, and then that's not good. Okay.
They said I was pretty delirious after my hernia surgery. It's phasing in and out. Yeah. All right. There was something else to that, but let's get up here. So yeah, somebody asked, it was Joseph Polka. He asked about, I'm assuming that he's already on the 90 before he asked this question, but he asked if, it's higher up. Sorry. I keep on scrolling past it. Can you give me some advice to improve the quality of sleep? So that's why I thought this was kind of related, like maybe obviously there's lots of things that could interrupt.
Yeah. Sleep. So
is melatonin bad?
There's a couple things. Is melatonin? Yeah. Do not use melatonin. I hear conflicting things about this. Are there better alternatives? Yes. Because your body makes its own melatonin. if it has the raw materials that it needs to make melatonin, and the raw materials your body needs to make melatonin are the 90 essential nutrients. So you need to be taking the Healthy Foundation Pack. I'm assuming that you're doing that. Okay. Now, as an experiment for 7 days, here's what you can do. Before you go to bed, well, about a half an hour before you go to bed, I want you to eat a handful of pistachios.
I love those things.
Right.
I live off those.
Yeah. And you can get them, you know, they're already peeled and they're all salted and in the bag. You don't have to like individually peel each pistachio because you'll go crazy if you do that. So eat a handful of pistachios, maybe half a cup or a cup full of pistachios before you go to bed. About a half an hour before you go to bed. Then immediately before you go to bed, you mix 2 ounces of the OsteoFX, 2 capfuls of the OsteoFX with 1 capful of the plant-derived minerals. You stir it up. Get it all into solution, and then you throw it down like a shot of tequila. But chase it with water to get that wonky taste out of your mouth. Brush your teeth and go to bed. Do that every night for 7 nights and see if you have a better night's sleep. It's as simple as that. Now, there's another thing that you can do, but you're not going to want to do it. And you'll curse me.
Oh, I
when you do it. You take a cold water bath before you go to bed. So you fill a bathtub with as cold as water as you can get. And if it's lukewarm coming out of the tap, you put ice cubes in the water. You got to get the water cold. You put them as about, I don't know, 8-10 inches of water in the tub, enough water so that when you're sitting in the tub with your legs stretched out, the water is halfway up your legs. You sit in the cold water and splash it all around, move around the tub, get the water all over your body, then bend your knees. Put your torso in the cold water, splash the cold water around your torso, 3 minutes in the cold water. Get out of the cold water, towel yourself off, go to bed. That's another thing that you can do if you are a brave heart.
Yeah. Just taking any shower before bed helps me relax, you know.
Paint your face blue and yell freedom right before
you do you have enough time for a couple more? Or are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I think, right, hold on. Let me double check. I think I am, but let me double check.
Yeah.
I got a wonky schedule. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. It says, what is the natural, this is Secret Lit 333. What is the natural way to treat cure fungal infections? Oh, and by the way, at 3:30 PM, 3:30 was the time they decided to set off some pagers.
Hello. Well, fungal infections, there's a product called a caprylic acid, which is effective at helping the body kill fungal things, caprylic acid. Most health food stores will sell that, caprylic acid. Some companies make a complex with caprylic acid and berberine and some other things, all of which are, the intention of which are to kill fungal infections, right? But we don't really want to kill a fungal infection. We want to make the body so healthy that the fungus has no place to live.
Yes.
Which is, and that's different than killing the fungus, right? I mean, is the fungus a good thing? Why is the fungus there? How to get there? Why do you have it and your wife doesn't, or your brother doesn't, or your sister doesn't, or your roommate doesn't, or why? Is because the environment of your body provided a nice place for the fungus to live. So the fungus lives there because it can. So if you just, you know, like took a really super powerful pharmaceutical antifungal and killed all the fungus, a month later it would come back because the environment of the body hasn't changed. That's what needs to change. The environment of the body needs to become inhospitable for the growth of fungi. So how do you do that? You take the 90 essential nutrients into your body, you eliminate the 12 bad foods. Initially, that's what we do. There's a product that you can add to this. And so in addition to these two things, I would take the caprylic acid. So I would do this. I would do caprylic acid. Oh, and I would also add to this a bottle of Sweeties. Because frequently fungal infections thrive in a body that has a problem metabolizing blood sugar. So the sugar is lingering too long in the blood before the cells suck it up for energy. And as the sugar lingers too long in the blood, it feeds the fungus. And so often a fungal infection is a function of a blood sugar metabolism breakdown.
Hey guys, just hold off until the when we're at the end of here, I'll bring you over to the sites to show you where to find the Sweeties, the 90 Essentials, and Dr. Peter Glidden's membership site. We'll just put it off to the very ends, and then you'll get all the data that you need. All right, so this is what came in the mail today. Purple people, that's purple. And it's our, do you see what it says?
Yeah, RSV is out there.
Yeah, and it's for, it's apparently they're targeting the people 60 years or older with this shot. But, you know, I think I live in a bubble until I go to some place like Albertsons or any place, any other grocery store that has a pharmacy in it, because that's all you hear over the teleprompter, or whatever they call that thing. And it's always get this shot, get that shot. It drives me absolutely insane because I know that they're killing people and they're poisoning them and they're setting them up for more disease. But this is the type of crap right here.
Yeah, welcome to the world that we live in. What we were...
Oh, but the FDA approved it for children and everything else, so I guess that's okay,
right?
Must
be fine, then. Must be fine. We were watching TV the other day, I think because we were really burned out, and we just needed to, you know, chill. And it wasn't a good day out, so we turned on the TV, and we got sucked into this program on network TV, and I never watch network TV. Like, the last time I watched network TV, I think, was the Super Bowl, all right? I never watch network TV anymore. But here we are. We're watching this program on network TV, and whatever. And every single solitary ad was for a different drug. Just like you, right? With this, it's like, oh, my God. People still don't get it, yeah, because it's not you and I that live in the bubble. It's everybody else that lives in the bubble.
They should be infuriated by that type of prompting to kill yourself constantly. And so it's asking you to hand your loved ones over to them to dispose of however way they see fit.
Well, you know, it's good to be the king because absolute power corrupts absolutely. Inside of a self-policing, self-regulating monopoly, you can do whatever the hell you want to. And if you are too big to jail, then damn the torpedoes and full speed ahead. And that's what the pharmaceutical industry is. They're too big to jail. You know, maybe Bobby Kennedy will change that. I don't know. That might be one good thing that he could do. But oftentimes these political promises kind of fade slowly into the night once they're actually in power. And then, you know, they have the backroom talks with the people that are actually running things.
Right.
And they slowly change their position, or they pivot, and they're not as aggressive as they were. And who knows? Yeah. This is why I don't think this is going to change from the top down. I don't think it's going to.
If you don't take the bribe, you'll take the bullet, or you'll take the hanging, because you just suddenly got all sorts of suicidal, right? So, I mean, they have their different ways of influencing people to change their minds. So I don't know what IVF is. It says, what do you know about IVF?
Well, that's in vitro fertilization.
Oh, okay. So kids, and whether or not there are known health risk issues with those children.
Okay, hold on. National Institutes of Health, long-term follow-up of children conceived through assisted reproductive technology. This is a PubMed, National Library of Medicine document. I just pulled it up. I'm trying to find the conclusions here. It's a long article. Let me just page down through it. I'm going to tell you that the health outcomes are not going to be good. The main risks for these children are poorer perinatal outcome. That means immediately after birth, something happens. Wow. Birth defects or epigenetic disorders, right?
So even if they're super nutrified, if they ended up with 20 kids when they were trying to have one, there's not going to be enough nutrients for all of them, right? It's like the runt in the litter type of deal.
Yeah, that's right. And that's just one study from the NIH. There's got to be others. I would have to take a deep dive into that, but it's not rocket science, right? So here's how to think this through. And by the way, the guy that I learned most of my medical nutrition stuff from, his name was Joel Wallach, and he was in charge of a $25 million research project that took about 10 years. He did 10,000 plus autopsies and millions of blood chemistries and histopathologies as part of the research, which is now in the Smithsonian Institution. And it rewrote our understanding of medical nutrition. He doubled the life expectancy of the average household dog. And all of a sudden, animals in zoos around the country started having babies where they didn't before. Because after Wallach's research, instead of feeding the animals, you know, moldy bread, they were giving them minerals. Mm-hmm. And vitamins, and all of a sudden the animal's healthy and they conceive and whatever. And he was famous for saying in his lectures, I've gotten more women pregnant than anybody else in the world. Blah, 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 blah.
I remember that.
Right. And what he meant was that when women who have trouble conceiving, right, take the 90 essential nutrients, they don't have trouble conceiving anymore. Why? Because the human body knows how to fix itself. The human body wants to fix itself. The human body's trying to fix itself all of the time, but it needs help. So if this is how many nutrients the body needs, but this is how many it has, the body's smart enough to know that it is no way possible it can conceive, that the child's going to be full term. So the body will prevent the mother from getting pregnant just because not enough nutrients. Can't do it. Mother's going to die if that happens. So when we nutrify, all of a sudden, they get pregnant because their body has the ability to do it now nutritionally. So if somebody who doesn't know this has trouble conceiving, it's because their body is undernutrified. So they go to the medical doctor who loads them up with fertilization drugs, forcing nature's hand. So the kids are born, but a lot of them have birth defects. A lot of them are really sick immediately after birth, right? Why? Because the kids developed in an undernutrified body. And all birth defects are caused by nutrient deficiencies. 100% of birth defects are caused by nutrient deficiencies in the blood of the pregnant mother, period. So
it's not the acid that they took in the 60s.
I'm sorry?
Not the acid that they took in the 60s.
Well, that could have something to do with it. So now the baby matured in an undernutrified womb. So the baby is born weak and undernutrified. So as those kids get older, do you think they're going to have less or more negative health outcomes? They're going to have more. That would be my inductive reasoning. And I'm sure that somewhere there's probably a non-mainstream published study that supports that. Because remember, the editors of the New England Journal of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, and the Lancet, all three of the editors of the most prestigious medical journals in the world, they all said more or less the same thing. Medical journals have devolved into information laundering practices for the pharmaceutical industry. If a pharmaceutical industry or a company is rolling out a new drug and they do 100 studies, two are positive and 98 are negative. The only two that are going to get published are the positive studies. The 98 that showed the negative results are not going to be published. So thinking that you can get objective data from mainstream medical journals is rubbish, especially if it if that information could ostensibly go against a multi-billion dollar fertilization industry. Because they're not going to publish net negatives about in vitro fertilization because it's a big money generator for medicine. Somewhere, I'm sure that there have been studies that have been published, but I'd have to look for them. But it's a logical extrapolation to assume that the IVF kids would be significantly less healthy than other kids.
Thank you, sir. You got anything else for me? Was my questioning over?
Yeah, no, I'm just interested about your perspective because you've talked to a lot of people.
Yeah. Right. I read Murder by Injection. I read most of Dissolving Illusions. I'm reading yours. But in addition to that, just the studying from, Dr. Stefan Lanka, who was a virologist, who calls himself a recovering virologist, the German guy, he is what actually most of Andrew Kaufman and Tom Cowan get their information from. It's from him. It's from his research, his work through the 80s, 90s, through the AIDS, and, rejecting the idea that HIV and AIDS had anything to do with each other or that virus was ever isolated from anything. And he said the one time he thought that he had what they would consider a virus isolated from coral, it was a symbiotic relationship. Without it, the coral would get diseased and die.
Okay.
So that's, and he was, into microbiology and stuff like that too. Or I'm sorry, marine biology. So that's all very interesting stuff. So what they're really telling you is in my mind, if they're telling you and pushing this thing, it's because they want to fear. They want to use some kind of poison, just like you would if you're a homeopath, but at a much higher dose, get the person sick some other way through the environment, through the food, the water, the air, or their other shots, and then get them scared into another shot. And it's just this eugenics murder cycle cycle of murder that we're on. Each wave confuses more people to do the same thing. And
right.
And you have things like SIDS with my little brother. So the reason why I'm so adamant about this, because he died of SIDS. And there's only two ways that happens. Vagus nerve with the atlas vertebrae or shots. And he was 2 months old.
Oh, yeah. License to kill. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do, folks. You're going to push back against all this bullshit. You're going to learn what to do to pop out of the medical matrix and make yourself so healthy that you simply don't need the pharmaceuticals. You simply don't need them. And I'm your Huckleberry, and that's just my game teaching you how to do that. So follow Daniel's link, become a subscriber, and let me help you figure it out.
Thank you, sir.
Daniel, God willing, the creek don't rise. I'll see you next week.
I think the 26th, you're out. I think it's the next week. I believe the 26th, you might be headed somewhere else.
Hold on. Let me pull the calendar up. You might be right.
I got the inside scoop from somebody you know.
Yo, yeah, I'm going to be in Texas. But I will. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Yeah, I can't do it next week. I'm sorry. All right.
All good.
All right. All right. I'll see you in 2 weeks then. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. See you next time. Thanks.
Guys, stick around real quick. We're going to go through the sites. I could have gone on forever about who and what, about what I've learned that have made an impact. But this homeopathy thing is really, really interesting to me. And I'm reading that book. Like I said, Everybody Is Sick and I Know Why. It's the 2010 version. It's like the very first one that came out. So it's not updated. Very good. Very good book. Let me put myself in the corner here. That's me in the corner. Shut up. All right. Now we're on Rumble, but you could just as easily be over here with not that one. Over here. Two of the eight people that are watching. And you can find this link right here. See this blue link? You can click that. Ballbusters is the coupon code for 50% off. Secretlit 333. I'm going to navigate to that site and I'm going to show you where it is. I think you're just not scrolling down far enough, because if you can get access onto the site, you can get to the Q&As. So stand by. I'm going to help you out. Okay. So, and if it doesn't help, then email me. I'll get in contact with you. We'll put on a share screen and I'll figure out what's going on with your stuff. Okay. All right. So Leave Big Pharma Behind right here in the description. click it. Remember this part. You can even, before you leave, you can just like do this, right click, and then copy, and then click this. Just make life easier. There'll be something that pops up because I'm already a member, so it hasn't done it, but you'll have a membership account thing, and then there's a thing to fill out, right? When you do that, the code, you make sure you put in there, test the code, and it should give you the 50% off. Okay? Now, for Secretlet, let me go here. So you can get this board, this to come up, right? If you can, then just click this. There's a lot of scrolling. So there's the calendar, right? There's this part. And then this is the last one, right? So this whatever one is in there will be from the last time. Hold on. And then beneath that, you can click the previous dates here. Okay, hold on. Hold on, someone's calling in. Oh, you gonna answer or what? It's not muted. Why isn't I hearing anything? Hello? 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 Oh, hello? I don't know what the hell's on. The phone's being retarded right now. You saw me trying to do it, right? I don't know what's going on. Whatever. So anyhow, if that question was for Dr. Glidden, you missed him anyway. All right. So, and then right here, you'll see Brenda's contact for the Eiffel Health. Okay. So that reminded me what I wanted to do now. So you're on the site. You go to member content, and then store, I want to say. Am I in the right spot? Where the hell? Okay, so that's the full script. So once you guys are being told, you know, you need this, you need that, there's Canada and there's USA full script. You're going to get 10% off with your membership just because. Oh my God, what? If this doesn't happen this time, stop calling because it's just irritating now. Hello?
Call from Sue Richards.
Hello?
Hello?
You know Dr. Glidden's already left, right?
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay.
And I did sign up through your link.
Okay.
For the membership.
Cool.
And, but I also, like, I went to see Dr. Manzo a year ago.
You went to his wellness, well-being by design in Ohio, like his office?
Yes.
Okay.
And I had this crazy sciatica in my ass muscle for like over a year. And
that sucks. I've had that problem before. I couldn't even straighten my legs out. I had to sleep in a curled ball.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, nobody barely touched me at all. I got the lasers, the sound, and you know, like just like treatment. No one really touched me, and it went away.
He did it, and it made away.
It
one session.
Yeah, it went away. Yep.
In one session,
and it was
wow.
Yeah, it was the most insane thing.
And he only held it for like 5 minutes, or how long did he hold? How long did he hold the positioning for?
Actually, someone else who did it. Like
I spent
2 hours. I spent 2 hours with my hands on those little nodule things. You know.
Yep. And which.
And so. Called. Yeah, like the Quest 4.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like that game that they have at the, where you hold it and you try to hold on when it vibrates. My daughter does that.
Yeah, exactly. But then I went into another room with a nice lady. And she waved the lasers, the different colored things over me, and then the sound with the tuning forks and different things. And I mean, it went away. I had sciatica for a year, and no one even touched me, and it went away. So I just wanted to put that out there.
That's awesome.
That's my testimonial.
Oh, you're all calling from Ohio, too,
very
so that's cool. That's cool. You're actually calling from Ohio.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, he's like 45 minutes away. But thank you. I mean, your show is my favorite show. So
thank you.
Like, I look forward to it all the time. I'm just starting to have a dog walking business. I'm just ordinarily, I'm just a gardener. I don't make money, but I can food all day long. I make That's hot awesome. Sauce.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. You know,
so, yes. So I'm just now starting to kind of bring in a little bit of money with dog walking, but I'm going to buy you a coffee soon. Hopefully.
Oh, you don't worry about it. I appreciate you calling
in. I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. And your show's the best.
Thank you so much. That's
because,
really kind
you know, it's not really about, like, you know, conspiracies and blah, blah, blah. It's like, how is this going to help my life? Like, it doesn't necessarily mean, like, okay, yeah, maybe we know about, you know, history and stuff and what we've been lied to about, but also, like, how does this help me now in the present day?
Right. What's and the practical application for this? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I think your show's the best. So I appreciate you and everything you do. So thanks.
What is your name again?
My name is Sue. Sue Richards from Ohio.
Sue Richards from Ohio. Thank you so much, Sue Richards from Ohio. Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm going to buy you lots of coffees. More dogs I walk, more coffees I'll buy you. But yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So thanks.
If I'm ever in Ohio, okay. I'll have a good day. You. Thank you.
All right. Yay. Okay. All right. Bye.
Well, that was awesome. That was awesome. I'm glad that we fought that technology to make it happen. All right. So what was I going to say? Oh, so I think it was, who asked about the fungus? Which one of you guys did that? Hold on. I got to find it now. Who asked? Ah. Where is it? Somebody asked about fungus, didn't they? Well, anyway, I was going to pull up this for you because I know this helps. So, yes, gold has antibacterial properties, especially in the form of nanoparticles. Well, what about forget about the nanoparticles? All you have to do is take all of your gold, throw it on your bed and roll around in it, and you should be fine. Guess it's not the cure for everyone then. But apparently that's the way antibacterial gold based. Yes, yes, yes. Isn't it funny? Isn't it nice to live in there rules for a while? Oh yeah, sure. I'll just go grab all my gold and roll around in it. Let's see. SemperFryLLC.com. That's the Gibbs and Go thing here, right here. Right here. That will take you to here. And this is the Gibbs and Go for the I gotta do that. Alex was very awesome. Yeah, and really we're getting not quite three quarters. Now I don't have to say almost a half, but we're not quite three quarters. Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah, and then we'll be able to rock that computer out. I'll start to build it and acquire a new skill. I've seen it done. It doesn't look difficult. There's no like soldering gun involved or anything like that. It's not like old. It's not like I'm putting together an actual circuit board. I'm just plugging things into things and, you know, ribbon wire and stuff like that. It's not as complicated as it sounds. It's just about getting the right components, getting them all together, making sure you don't leave crap in it so that it doesn't short out and stuff like that and, you know, blow it all out and all that stuff and then get ready to rock with it. And then pick your operating system, which I forgot to add to the price of that too, because if I get Linux, it won't matter. But I don't know how to use Linux. And I think it limits the quality of the video. Image? I hope not. And then I don't even think you can use Chrome on Linux. I think you have to use Chromium, which will be different. All my stuff will not be saved anymore. But I'll get off the evil of Microsoft. I did not press that on purpose. I don't know what the hell just happened. I can't get it off. Where'd it go? The hell is the thing? Way up here. This thing just went out of control. Okay. So last but not least, but I was showing this a second ago. This is EiffelHealth.com, but call Brenda. And then it's just extension 101, okay? All members receive wholesale pricing for 1 year, personalized support with one of the Dr. Glidden's trained advocates. We only recommend the products that Dr. Glidden approves, private mentoring with one of Dr. Glidden's trained coaches. This is for the EiffelHealth stuff, which means it's the longevity stuff, the 90 essentials, okay? This is why you call. This is why you call. You get the help, you get the personal touch. You can just order online, right? But I want to talk about sweeties and all that stuff and rebound. And Rebecca finally decided to take the Tangy Tangerine. She said she felt awesome. What I meant to say earlier is I started my day with it instead of middle of the day or toward the end. Usually I was taking it after the elliptical, so I was like replenishing myself. But that's after like 4.6 miles and like a 10-pound sweaty shirt just soaked. So I wasn't noticing how much energy I had. So between that and my other stuff, like I do with a little Primatene tab of ephedrine every day, HCL, I take, probably drink 2 cups of coffee. I have my Kratom every 2, 3, 4 hours. And then I do this, did this today with the plant-derived minerals, but I don't have the osteo at the moment. And I feel great. I'm sweating a lot because it means it's good, but sweating because I'm under 15,000 lights and I have energy to go do stuff, right? My body's operating at a higher level, so there's more sweat. Private mentoring with Dr. Well, yeah, I already said that. Complimentary what? Monthly auto ship available. Monthly training call with Brenda. Oh, monthly training calls. I forgot about that part. Yeah, they have little like group private exclusive meetings with Brenda and Dr. Glidden when you're a member. Like that means like you're an affiliate program with Youngevity or whatnot, you know. And you get a couple other people underneath you, then you get you basically get your products for free because it's paying you back. You see how that works? So that's something you guys can use as an opportunity. But the first step would be to go to here, establish the relationship, understand what you're actually going to be doing when you start, you know, venturing out into that endeavor, and come here and get here. So you want to turn this into an investment yourself and into something that might make you something later? Then go ahead. It'll help you with your health, number one, right? And then you go into the Off Your Health stuff and you can share around the ideas, thoughts, and blah, blah, blah with the stuff that they offer. You know, you get the Youngevity, you get your health up, you talk about your own testimonial and get a few more people underneath you, then your monthly nutrients are either only half expensive because you're getting paid for the ones that other people are signed up with, or they're free, or you're making something, depending on how much effort you put into it. Why don't I do it? I'll tell you why. Because then that would mean I would have to be unbalanced. And I'm not going to do that, okay? There's 100% loyalty to both Dr. Monzo and Dr. Glidden. I believe in both of them. And I'm not going to... Oh, well, I'm making money off this and not that, or this, or blah, 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 blah. So I'm not going to like, because you can't have conflicting argument. You can't have a conflicting goal. You can't say this and this. You know what I mean? If they're both similar or the same, or if there are different ways of approaching the same thing. So neither, right? I'm not involved in Youngevity, but I will point people that way who want it. And I'm getting like, a little bit off of the so with Dr. Glidden, just the membership thing, that's what helps out the show. With Dr. Monzo, the coupon code for his book and the supplements for Azure Well, I get a little something from when you guys get done. I leave the Youngevity thing alone because it's a time consuming investment thing. And if I did that, then I would, you know, understand what I mean? It would be imbalanced. So that's why I don't do it. I've been asked by other people why I don't. And I would just rather you guys gave it all to Brenda. Just tell her that, just have them appreciate me more by telling them that you came from here. That's good enough. And then get the membership so like you support the show too. All right? Or use the little thing at the bottom here. When you guys ask questions or whatever, you don't have to even ask a question, but this is called a Rumble rant. I just learned the name of it today. It's called a Rumble rant. It's not a super chat like they call it on YouTube. I knew it wasn't called that because that's a TM registered trademark thing. But so it's called a Rumble rant. Your rant here, right? So then you put in how much you want. You can use it by this. You can say tool, right? See how that works? And then you type in something. You can say, hey, you. Go ahead. Whoops. The hell just happened? Hold on. Why didn't I put in? Oh, it's right here. It says your rant here, and yet you type it there. You know, you can say, hey, go F yourself, or have a nice day. And then it'll be up there, and then I will read it. So I would appreciate in the future that you guys use this section for sending your questions and then also helping the show at the same time. Okay? That's kind of like my answer. Or that's it. Yeah. Subscribe or do that. All right. Bye. Where the hell am I? There I am. Oh my God. You didn't even see that. Oh, stupid computer. All right. One last time. That's what I got. You son of a... So what I was saying, as I was pointing out here, this thing is called a Rumble Rant. See how when I go over the top of it, it turns green? You click it. You can move, you can change it here, or you can use this little button thing, right? So if I go, let's say, 2 or 3, it represents itself. You click in here, you type in your little dibba-dabu, tell me the something nice, something mean, or ask a question, and then you send it away. Okay, you click this little button here, bam. You don't even have to put a message in. And then that helps the show. And if you ask your questions for Dr. Glidden or whoever guest I have on here, that helps out too. So between that, the memberships, the gifts and go, that helps promote the show, getting the things that it needs to continue to go. Okay? Okay. Is my head over the top of all that too? I bet it friggin' was. One last time. God fucking damn it. Okay. So now you see it. And let's try this again. Son of a fucking bitch. Okay, so let's go like this. So this little green thing here, this thing right here, that's called a Rumble Rant. You click that. You type in here, whatever you want. Do not yada yada. You heard me say this a bunch of times. You type in your rant or nothing at all. You hit send. And that supports the show. Okay? Yes, Rumble does give it back to me. And no, they don't take nearly as much out as YouTube does and Google and the Google Mint. So it's actually better on this side if it's actually used. Okay? Okay. Hopefully I got that right this time. Motherfucker. I hate everything and everything. So I better go work out and do stuff. I have to go pick up some things too. Everybody have a wonderful day. Tomorrow is Friday. Holy shit. And Tunitris from the FTJ Media, SFR FTJ Media crew, will be here in the morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And we will be discussing what he does, what his show is about, what our mutual understanding of history is and the lies that have been taught to us, forced upon us. Threatened that if we don't think that way, the bad things will happen to us. And we'll get some insights as to how these psychopathic, evil sons of bitches who've been terrorizing and blowing things up and blowing people up at random, lying to the world and saying that it was Hezbollah. Bullshit. I call them Hezbollah blah because it's easier to spell. B-L-A-H. So Hezbollah blah, 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 blah. But anyway. So we're going to be talking about the stuff that is impending doom on us. These freaks that if you watch the video before this, we're talking about anti-Semitism and prison sentences. Anything that they don't like. No, you can't. They're so fragile little weasels that. Can you imagine like somebody, it's like an Italian guy being like, oh, man, we should throw all the people who call us Guidos. Everybody who calls us grease balls in the jail or kill them. And that's what Trump's like. Yeah, yeah, that's a pretty good idea because of the Italian meatball Holocaust that happened. The Italian meatball Holocaust where a bunch of meatballs fell on a bunch of Italians and then the French did it. Like, shut the fuck up. Bye. Let's leave it with that. That made no sense.